Welcome to Life Church McDonough Podcast. If you will, please visit us at lifechurchmcdonough.com, or you can follow and subscribe at Life Church McDonough on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you're in the McDonough area, please come visit us. Life happens here.
As we enter into a time of breaking apart God's Word this morning, I feel it's important that we start the message with a unique time of prayer. Jesus said that my house is to be a house of prayer. Amen? And so I think there's some things that we need to pray for this morning. But before we get into that, I have this urgency to testify, to build our faith this morning. On Wednesday night, while we were in the back as the adult life group was meeting and talking about the things of the Lord, I got a text message from our brother Saul. For the past 3-4 weeks, we've been praying for Saul's father, who's been struggling with COVID. He was hospitalized for multiple weeks and really having a hard time battling for his life. And Saul texted me a few weeks ago saying, "Pastor, will you please get people to pray? My dad is the pillar in our family. He's a man of God. He's a good man who loves Jesus. We call the church to pray." And I'm happy to say that Wednesday night, I got a text on my phone. I'm telling you, it was like multiple pages long, where Saul was glorifying God. "My father's home. He's out of the hospital. All glory to God. Jesus touched his body and restored him. And I know," Saul said, "I know it's because we prayed." There he is right now. Praise God. Saul's in the house right now. He texted me. He said, "I'm going to be at the house of the Lord on Sunday morning because COVID has not defeated our family in Jesus' name. Hallelujah." He said, "I'm so happy because we've tested and we're free. We're free of this." And that's what God wants for us. And so we're going to pray in just a moment. And I'm here this morning as your pastor to say, may God bless you this morning. When we pray, we get blessings from heaven. May Lord shine his face upon you, church. Let's just fill this place with an aroma of praise. May the windows of heaven, that could be your prayer this morning. God, open the windows of heaven over my house this morning. Let me be blessed in Jesus' name by the ministries of our church. May the favor of God rest on us. And may he establish the work of his hands. I dare you to pray with me this morning. Let me begin this morning by saying I believe it's easier and easier. It's becoming more and more easy to say that we are living in the last days. Come on, somebody. Over the past week, we've been a witness of pure evil. We've been a witness of pure evil on the move as Russia has invaded Ukraine. And Jesus said it clearly, and it's going to be on the screen, Matthew 24, verse 6. It says, "You will hear." He said it plainly. You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Come on. Somebody needs that. You don't listen to the news and be alarmed. Be firm, because God is for us and not against us. Jesus said, see to it you're not alarmed. Such things have to happen. It has to happen, but the end is still to come. Oh, praise God, we know what the end holds. Thank you, Jesus. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all of these things, the past 2 years, COVID-19, the pandemic, the economy, the social injustice, all these are the beginning of the birth pains. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, these birth pains we are experiencing are an obvious indication that Jesus is coming soon, church. Jesus is coming soon. Come on, somebody. Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, help us recognize the signs of our times. Open our eyes to the areas of our hearts, oh God, that are not right before you, Jesus. Create in me a pure heart, oh God,
renewal right spirit in me, because church, I believe now more than ever before we need to prepare ourselves for the imminent return of Jesus Christ. We've got to prepare ourselves. God, create in me a clean heart. This morning we need to pray for Ukraine. So in this holy moment, will you pray with me? Don't let me be the only one praying this morning. In the stillness of your heart, He can hear your whisper. He can hear your shout. Whatever you feel compelled to do, God, would you set an atmosphere of prayer in our church right now? As for your house, it will be a house of prayer this morning. I challenge you, church, as I list off some of these prayer points and we start things off a little differently this morning, let this sanctuary be filled with prayer warriors that get God's attention this morning, that usher in revival to our church, that usher in revival in our city. Don't let me be the only one with prayer on my mouth in these next few moments. If you're watching with us online, I dare you to get on your knees and sanctify your home. As a house of prayer, we need to pray for the sanity of Russia, church. God, so many in that vast nation have yet to hear your gospel and receive your grace. God, it's one of the most vast and unreached people groups on the planet. So, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would reach down and love on Russia today. We need to pray for the peace in Europe in Jesus' name. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. Oh, that the Church of Christ would pray with fervency. We pray against the spirit of oppression, the spirit of communism. We pray against it in Jesus' name. God, your word says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, you will raise up a standard against it. So God, we're praying that you raise up a standard against the evil that's taking place right now. God, we pray for the United Nations. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, let allied bonds strengthen and don't let them weaken in Jesus' name. God, I pray against the power of timidity, because your word says you don't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, God. We pray for it. Oh, God, would you bless America? God bless America. God bless America. Let that be our prayer, church. We need to pray for our leaders, especially the president and the leaders of our military and the strategists that advise them. God, give us wisdom from on high to do what you've called us to do and to be the great nation that you've called us to be. We need to pray for the innocent civilians that are fleeing and fearing for their lives, church, right now, that are in harm's way as Russia invades with force. God, would you be a shield around them right now? May a hedge of protection surround the women that are running in fear. God, I pray that you would dispatch your angels to be a safeguard. God, I pray that bombs that are being dropped would not go off because of the power of your presence, in Jesus' name. Here's a hard one, church, and I pray that we can get this one because it seems so unnatural to our flesh, but we need to pray for Vladimir Putin. How could you say that, Pastor? I'm praying for Ezekiel 36, that God would replace a heart of stone with a soft heart, God. Jesus said that we should pray for our enemies. He said to pray for those that persecute us and those that intend us harm. So God, we lift up Vladimir Putin right now in the name of Jesus. God, no man can speak to him with reason, but God, your Holy Spirit can break through every mental stronghold, every demonic presence on his life. God, we pray for our enemies this morning. God, we come together in this holy moment and we cry out, Jesus, soften the heart of Russia. I pray that the madness that's taking place right now would come to a cease, and that it would cause a ripple effect of revival across this land, Jesus. That it would be a testament. God, we pray a protection over our military. Many of us in this room are related or have connections. Some of us are veterans in our military, God. We pray a hedge of protection over our military in Jesus' name. God, protect our economy. Come on, somebody. With just a few moments more, press in. Let this be a moment of prayer. God, we need your economy in the United States, Lord. God, let this be a land flowing with milk and honey, with blessing, God. Protect our borders in Jesus' name. Protect our allies in Jesus' name. God, would you bless America in Jesus' name? Church, it's time to get ready because Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. The past couple years of pandemic, if that hasn't been a sign to us, then we need to let the last couple days be an obvious witness and a warning that we are living in the last days, church. I want to make this next statement, and I want it to be so clear and so sensitive because I love you as your pastor and as a leader in the kingdom of God. I want the context of what I'm about to say is so important, so I'm going to say it again. Jesus loves you. I love you because Jesus loves you. I love you because I know the lover of your soul. And Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice on our behalf, and he died for our sins on Calvary's cross. That's the gospel. That's the good news, church. I hope you can tell my tone this morning is compelling and it's not condemning. It's compelling and it's not condemning. I want kindness and the love of God to be the context of this next statement because I trust God's word where it says it is his kindness that leads us to repentance. I say all of that to say this. If you're not right with the Lord this morning, I want to encourage you. What are you waiting for? I want to implore you. I want to inspire you. I want to coach you this morning and say, if your heart is not in a right posture before Jesus this morning, Jesus sent me to say, what in the world are you waiting for? Do you not see? I'm about to come, and I'm coming for my people, and I want you to be a part of that great homecoming where I'm going to come and crack open the eastern skies, and I'm going to ride in with a white horse of power, and I'm going to right all the wrong that has been done, and I'm going to bring my church, my pure and spotless bride up with me, and I'm going to establish my kingdom forever and ever. So if you are not in right relationship with Jesus, what are you waiting for? Because time is running out, church. Please hear your pastor today. If things are not right with you in Jesus, today is and can be the day of salvation in Jesus' name. We have this moment right now. This is the moment that we have. It's a moment of grace. It's a gift. And right now, all we have is what we're guaranteed. Tomorrow's not promised. We have right now. God has been patient because it is his will that none should perish and that all of us could accept the gift of salvation that can only be found in Jesus Christ. In just a few moments, we're going to be giving everyone an opportunity to receive that grace. If you need it, someone needs to have the guilt and the shame of their past mistakes to be lifted off of your shoulders this morning. Last week we preached about forgiveness, and Jesus wants us to experience forgiveness like never before. And if you're far from him this morning, I'm here to say God is excited. God is anticipating. I preached it last week. He's waiting and he's watching on the horizon, just hoping for a prodigal son or daughter to come to their senses and move towards him again because God wants to seek and save the lost. I know something powerful is about to happen in this place. One last moment, church. Let this place be filled with prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you both hear us and answer our prayer. I know something powerful is about to happen in this place. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. If you can feel that, it's the anointing of heaven. Thank you for your anointing. Just ask for a full force of his anointing this morning. Ask him to anoint us this morning. God, I thank you for your presence to fill this place again. God, I pray that you would anoint my lips to preach this morning, to preach your word and preach what you placed on my heart. God, I pray that you would anoint your people to be receptive to your word, to be conduits of hope and of love in this place, in this world that needs it desperately, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your love. Have your way this morning. We trust you. In Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Can we give God praise one more time? Thank you. Thank you, Daniel. Well, praise the Lord. I know something powerful is going to happen today as we close our series on a pure heart. I don't know about you. I want a pure heart, church. I want to walk in a pure heart. I want the Lord to purify my heart. And I'm grateful for this series and what God has taught us over the past couple weeks. As we close this series this morning, we're going to look at an Old Testament hero that I believe has a very pure heart. I say that because it takes a pure heart to see God's hand moving and want what God wants more than what we want, right? Sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes our nature, our sinful nature, our fleshly desires, we can sense and feel what God wants, but sometimes we're like, can I get mine, Lord? I want what I want. Can my will be done? But this man put his will to the side and put God's will in the epicenter of his life. This man, for example, I'm going to get to his name in just a moment. This man watched his father, the king of Israel, jump the gun and get ahead of the Lord. And as King Saul impatiently made a sacrifice that the prophet Samuel was supposed to make. And this man watched his father, the king, rage with anger and with jealousy towards one of his best and closest companions and friends, David. And even though David was anointed to be the next king, this man was the king's oldest son, which means he was the next in line. But instead of getting jealous and angry and frustrated with God, this man still chose to protect David and was loyal and a true friend to David, even though he wanted to be king one day. See, I promise you, I'm not even going to be biased this morning because this man happens to have one of the most incredible names in the world. First and foremost, his name is Jonathan. I promise you, I'm not trying to... It's a coincidence, y'all. It's a coincidence. I love his name, though. It's a good name. It's a good name. King Saul's son, Jonathan, walked with a pure heart, church. He walked with a pure heart. I'm going to set us up with this truth this morning as we dive into the scripture this morning. I don't know about you, but this has been my experience, church. God has moved the most in my life when my heart has been the most enthusiastic. God has moved the most in my life when my heart has been the most enthusiastic. Come on. When I get passionate, I see breakthrough. Come on, some people say it like this. What you expect is what you're going to get. And so many times I have to raise my expectation. I've got to raise my enthusiasm because I want God to move in my life. Because I've seen it in my life and I've seen it in so many others. The level of expectation and enthusiasm in my life is the level of which I see breakthrough. When I get enthusiastic, miracles break out. Come on, somebody. Miracles take place. When I get enthusiastic in my prayers, that's when my prayers get answered. Bible says the fervent prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. Somebody needs to get some fervency this morning. When I get enthusiastic, my enemies begin to fall. My difficulties turn into promotion. I love the testimonies this morning because difficulties turn into promotion when we get enthusiastic and stay enthusiastic when all hell breaks loose. Come on, somebody. See, if I had come unenthusiastically, just think about it for a moment, 2.5 years almost ago when Jubilee and I came to lead our church, if I had come unenthusiastically to lead, man, when the pandemic hit, we would have closed these doors. Come on, somebody. If we didn't have an enthusiastic leader saying, no, we are going to press forward, we're going to press on, we're going to win this war. God, we may have some battles in front of us, but the battle is the Lord's. Come on, somebody. We need enthusiasm. We need to be encouraged.
I thank God that he moves when we get passionate. This is one of the reasons why whenever I grab a mic, I try to pump up the room. Come on, somebody. Because when we get passionate, that's when God moves. Our first Easter, we couldn't even do an egg hunt for kids. It was discouraging. It broke our hearts, and we came up with the Easter Bandits. Anybody remember the Easter Bandits? The kids could not come to hunt eggs, so we went to the kids, and we egged their houses. Hallelujah. We put candy all over their yards. We didn't have a live stream ministry when the pandemic shut everything down, but we enthusiastically got the live stream ministry going, and now, praise God, hundreds of people are watching with us this morning. Hallelujah. That's good news this morning. We should be excited about that. This is why I'm constantly encouraging us. We need to be free in Life Church. The church of Jesus Christ should be free, because he who the Son has set free is free indeed. I want us to worship with hands lifted high in this place, because enthusiasm changes the atmosphere. I want you to shout amen, because my Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I want somebody to help me preach when I get up behind this pulpit, because it's the enthusiasm of our soul that stirs the passion in the heart of God. Man, I want you to help me preach every Sunday, not just this morning, because I want us to be an enthusiastic people, because I want to see God's hand move. I want to see it happen. Jubilee and I are about to celebrate our 19th anniversary, y'all. Woo! Can I just tell you, she didn't fall in love with me because I half-heartedly pursued her. Hey, you're kind of pretty. You want to marry me? Yeah, that's not how it happened at all. She was a lifeguard, and I was infatuated with her, and she was blowing me off every single time. Y'all better believe she was on that lifeguard podium, and I'm looking up like, oh, and she's not even looking at me. She's like doing her scan, and you're not even existing. And I sat there just to be in her presence. Y'all better believe I brought her lunch when she didn't even ask for it, but I found out what she liked because I enthusiastically pursued her. Come on, somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about this morning. I did not half-heartedly pursue her. I never said, oh, you're okay. You want to get married? Come on. Y'all understand what I'm getting at this morning? See, you better believe I did everything I could to convince her that I loved her. I did everything I could. And you better believe the only reason we're still happily married, hallelujah, come on somebody, is because I still enthusiastically love her with all my heart. With all of my heart. And I try to show her that love each and every day. See, I'm really setting us up this morning for the main scripture God laid on my heart to preach this morning. Jonathan was an enthusiastic person in the Old Testament. He wasn't a passive footnote in history, church. He was an important role player. He played an enthusiastic role in God's plan unfolding before us. And as we dive in this morning, God wants me to explain and articulate this truth and dig a little deeper. A foundation to the message we're about to unpack this morning is this: great moves of God do not happen by chance. Great victories don't come by accident. Somebody needs to hear that again this morning. Great moves of God don't happen by chance. Great victories don't come by accident. See, this morning, if you need a move of God, or if you need a great victory in your life to take place right now, it's time to do something about it. I said it's time to do something about it, church. I think all of us walked into this room. I want to give us the benefit of the doubt. Each and every one of us walked in this room hoping something great would happen. I don't know why you would want to come to church otherwise. Why would you want to come to church and spend your time? Get those kids up in the morning. Come on, somebody. It's hard to get them to church. But God wants something to happen. I think all of us also want something to happen. Many of us prayed this morning, God, will you do something powerful at church today? I don't know about you. I did. I want God to move. Most of us woke up this morning hoping for a great day. This week's been hard. God, I need a good day today. Am I with you? Most of us came in this morning, we need a breakthrough, and I believe most of us genuinely want God to do great things in us and through us. And another way to express this truth is great things begin to happen when great people begin to live with great zeal. Great things begin to happen when great people begin to live with great zeal. That's good preaching this morning. You need to get that. First of all, you're a great person, and God wants to see your great zeal. He wants to stir you up. See, the kingdom and the people of Israel, the kingdom of Israel and the people of God were at war with the Philistines in this passage. Times were tough. Supplies were limited. Just a few verses before what I'm about to read says that the only warriors in Israel that had a sword or a spear were the king and his son, because supplies were cut off. They were outnumbered. They were outgunned. And the armies of Israel were many times outnumbered by the forces of the Philistines. I believe many of us feel outnumbered. We feel outgunned in the day and age that we live in. But despite this context, look at me with the pure heart of Jonathan in 1 Samuel verse chapter 14, starting in verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 14, starting in verse 1, the scripture says this: "One day Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, 'Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side.' But he didn't tell his father. 'Let's go. Come on, come on, companion, friend.' Jonathan, with zeal in his heart, said and communicated to his armor bearer, 'Hey, come with me. Let's go pick a fight. Come on, somebody. Y'all picking this up.' He was saying, 'I want to put a hurt on some Philistines real quick. Will you come with me? Let's go do this.'" Have y'all ever been in that scenario where it's like you grab one of your closest friends and you say, "Let's roll. We're about to go at it. Let's get it. Come on." Y'all act like y'all never fought before. I feel the presence of the Lord on this word this morning, as God's given me liberty to preach an important detail about this one verse for just a moment, if you'll allow me to. Are y'all ready? The scripture says clearly, Jonathan wanted to pick a fight, but he didn't tell his father. That's an important detail. Jonathan was so passionate about turning the tide and getting the victory over his enemies, but he did not ask permission to pick a fight. He didn't ask for permission. I'm confident the Lord sent me this morning to encourage many of us in this room with this truth. If you want to walk with a pure heart, it's time to stop waiting for permission to do what God would obviously want us to do. Come on, somebody. It's time to stop waiting for permission to do what God would obviously start wanting us to do. We don't need to wait for permission to pray for revival, church. We don't need to wait for permission. War is breaking out in Europe. Makes it obvious that we should pray for revival because we're in the last days. Come on, somebody. We don't need to wait for permission to fight for purity in our homes. Come on. Some of us need to break the chains and the strongholds. Get rid of the social media in Jesus' name. That's powerful. It is for freedom. Christ has set us free. We don't gotta wait for permission. Lord, would you like me to stop watching what I've been watching? No. We don't have to wait for permission. Let's get to it. We don't need to wait for permission to make better choices with our health. In our physical fitness, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I know I'm trifling this morning, but what you put in is what you get out. Come on, somebody. Garbage in will result in garbage out. You don't need to wait for permission. He's already said your body's a temple. Take care of it. We don't need to wait for permission to break the addiction. Thank you, Jesus, for freedom. It is for freedom. Christ has set us free. We don't need a substance, church. We don't need a substance when we have the presence and the power of the living God. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in us, and we don't need anything else but his presence. That's good preaching. We don't need to wait for permission to love our spouses more deeply. We don't need permission for that. My wife said she wanted a table in our kitchen for her anniversary gift. And y'all, she picked it out and she said, "I would love this." And our anniversary, church, is not until March the 8th. But y'all better believe you come to my house after service, you're going to see that table and those barstool chairs in our kitchen, because I love my wife and I don't need permission to lavish things on her. When she wants something, my queen's going to get it, because I don't need permission to fall more in love with my spouse this morning. Say that. We don't need to wait for permission to be the best neighbors we can be. We sent flowers to the neighbors that worship next door. I was at the viewing for Pastor John because he lost his battle with stomach cancer just a few days ago, and I didn't need to ask the board of directors for permission to send them flowers. I didn't need to ask for permission. Hey guys, can I take some time out of my week to go and love on them for a moment? No, that's something that's obvious. Get to the work of the ministry. It's okay to be a good neighbor. I don't need to ask permission. I don't need to pray about that. It's okay. Jonathan didn't tell his father. We don't need to wait for permission to go the extra mile in helping those that are in need. Come on, that's good preaching this morning. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, let's go take out that Philistine outpost. And he didn't say a word to his dad. We had a fantastic missions banquet just the other week, and I love getting to hear from all of the missionaries, but I'm confident, church, we don't need to ask God permission if we need to support more missionaries, because it's his will that none should perish. He said, go into all the world and make disciples, and guess what? We're not yet reaching all the world, so it's time for us to get to it, and I'm so grateful for the heartbeat of this church, that we don't need permission to be a missions-minded church. That's good. God sent me to say that it's time to stop waiting for permission, because great moves of God don't happen by chance. Great victories don't come by accident. Great things begin to happen when great people begin to live with great zeal, church. That's great preaching. And if you came looking for God to confirm something in your spirit this morning, let that be your confirming word. God, I don't know if I'm supposed to step out in faith. Yes, you are. You don't always need permission to do it. See, Jonathan wanted to make a difference and put some Philistines in their place, and the scripture says he didn't say anything to his father because it was the right thing to do, obviously. The Philistines were terrible people, and they were enemies of God, the chosen people of Israel, but I want you to see this morning the other important reason that he did not feel the need to ask permission is because Jonathan knew he was the son of a king. Jonathan knew whose he was. Come on, somebody. My son, just before service, was like, hey, Dad, can I get a Frappuccino from the Life Cafe? He gave me that, can I get the pastor discount? Wink, wink. And I looked at Jose and I gave him the nod. I said, yes, sir, I'll pay it. I'll pay it because that's my son. That's my son. I believe knowing whose you are has the power to unlock your potential. When I know that my authority believes in me, come on, somebody. When I know and I have confidence and security that my authority trusts me and wants me to do what he's called me to do. When I know those things, I have a confidence to do what God's called me to do. Come on, somebody. That's where my enthusiasm comes from, is because I know that I am a son of the King. You need to know this morning, God sent me to say, you are a daughter of the Most High God. You are a son of the Most High King. You need to remember this morning whose you are this morning. If someone in the room could get a hold of this reality that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, come on, somebody. If someone could receive a healthy reminder that Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 describes you as God's workmanship, that God Almighty is currently crafting you into a masterpiece. That's good news this morning, that you were created with good works in mind to accomplish, that were predestined before even the foundation of the world. was formed. Oh, Lord, help me this morning. If someone could get a hold of the reality that nothing can separate you from the love of God, neither height nor depth nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come, somebody needs to get that this morning. If somebody could know that they know that they know that they know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He is not a man that should lie. He is a friend that sticks closer to us than a brother. That's good news this morning. If someone could get it deep in their spirit that because of Jesus, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. You can kill me, but to live is Christ, even to die is my gain, because heaven is my home in Jesus. If we could just get it into our spirit that we will prosper because God is for us and not against us. See, God sent me this morning to remind many of us in the room and those watching with us whose we are this morning. Because knowing whose we are gets us doing what we are created to do without even asking permission. Man, if I know that God loves me and is for me, then I'm going to do what he's called me to do even without asking. Jonathan didn't ask permission to attack the Philistine outpost because he knew he was the son of a king. No one is going to tell him no because he's the son of a king. Don't mess with me. Jonathan knew whose he was, and I'm believing under the anointing of heaven this morning that my words are going to help someone leave this house encouraged and ready to charge your enemies, because God is reminding you in this very moment how powerful you really are in Jesus, because you are a child of the Most High King. That's who you are. If you receive that encouragement, I dare you, just lift up your hand and give out a shout. Thank you. I am a son. I am a daughter of the Most High God. I am his, and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Praise the Lord. I have good news this morning, church. Your king's name is not Saul. Your king's name is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. His name is Jesus. It is the name that is above every name. Your king's name is the bright and the morning star. His name is Jesus. Your king is the good shepherd. Come on, somebody. Your king is the anointed one, and you're a son and you're a daughter of that king. Your king is the living water. Come on, somebody. And the bread of life. Your king is the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Jonathan wanted to take the hill and attack his enemies because he knew his king was King Saul. But I got some better news this morning. Your king and my king is the Lord of glory this morning. Come on, somebody. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Our king loves us unconditionally. And that should light a fire within us. That should cause us to be enthusiastic. That should create a zeal in each and every one of us. I don't care how many years it's been since you were born again. A zeal should be ignited in your heart to do incredible things because you know your identity. You know you're a son, you're a daughter, and you know whose you are. Let's move forward with the story. In verse 4, the scripture says this. Says on each side of the pass that Jonathan was intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozez and the other Sena. One cliff stood to the north and the other to the south. We get some geography. The scripture is trying to paint a clear picture that in order for Jonathan to do what he wanted to do, in order for him to fulfill the zeal that was in his heart, two very real obstacles were in the way of Jonathan's zeal. And isn't that how life works? Whenever we get passionate about something, that's when the obstacles hit. There were cliffs on each side of the Philistine outpost, and their names were very significant, church. I've got it here. Bozez literally translates to a mud bog or a slippery slope. It's a very important term. And Sena was a thorn bush or an enemy. So on Wednesday nights, we've been learning as a church family that one of the key ingredients to spiritual joy, growth and development is joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, church. We need joy to develop in His presence. There's fullness of joy. And Jonathan was mustering up his zeal to do some great things for his father, the king. And as soon as he sets out to do it, he's faced with a slippery slope to slow him down and a prickly thorn in his side to discourage him. Can I get a witness? As soon as you want to do something for the Lord, that's when the slope hits and the thorns hit. We've got to recognize this, that the enemy doesn't want enthusiasm in the house of the Lord. The enemy does not want enthusiasm in the house of the Lord. He will do whatever it takes to bring discouragement. That's good enough to put on the screen this morning. The enemy doesn't, I want you to see that. The enemy doesn't want your enthusiasm. He wants to squelch your passion. He wants to put a slippery slope in front of you. He wants to put a thorn in your side to stop you. Someone just got a promotion the other week. And it was testified about this morning. And they told me how they finally had the resources to change the tires that desperately needed changing on their vehicle. And they went and they got the new tires. But as they were putting the new tires on the vehicle, then it was discovered that the tire rod needed replacing. And what went from a couple $100 went to many hundreds of dollars to repair and fix. Because that's exactly what happens as soon as promotion comes, as soon is something God moves in your life on your behalf. That's what the enemy does. He tries to come in and steal, kill, and destroy the enthusiasm. That's just what he does. But praise God for the next part of John 10:10. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and life that is abundant. God wants positive momentum. But there's going to be a slippery slope. There's going to be thorns in our way. And I love most about this story is Jonathan's, he still clearly saw the cliffs. He knew what was in front of him. He could see. Many times we don't even see what's coming. But even though he saw what he had to get over, he still had the zeal to do it. He saw the slippery slope and he recognized the thorns, but he still pressed forward to do the right thing, church. Jonathan had a pure heart not to let discouragement stop him. I want to invite the band to come as we close this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged. I'm ready for God to do something spectacular. I'm excited. It is so exciting to share your testimonies when they come in. Every week we get new testimony after testimony, and I'm so grateful. Ernie just told me this morning that they've been watching the 700 Club, and it was a Holy Spirit moment as they're watching where the preacher on national television that has never met the man said, I sense the Holy Spirit speaking to me that there is a man that has an issue on the left side of his brain that's causing him dizziness and basically read Ernie's mail. God will do exactly that and cause people across the nation to start praying for us. That's what I get excited about, church. 1 Samuel 14, verse 6. I love this. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come on, let's go over to the outposts of these uncircumcised men. And perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord. Nothing can hinder the Lord. Oh, there's got to be some zeal when you read that passage. Nothing can stop our God from saving, whether by many or by few. I heard an interview of some Ukrainian wife whose husband stayed back to fight. And she said, you know what? We can win this, whether by many or by few, because nothing can hinder the war. The Lord. Jonathan's armor bearer said, I love this. He said, do all that you have in mind. Go ahead, and I'm with you, heart and soul. I'm with you. I'm there for you. I will fight by your side. I will climb the slippery slope. I will fight my way through the thorns. I will do what all you call me to do because I'm with you, heart and soul. I love this response from Jonathan's armor bearer. I'm with you. Jonathan was willing to do what God had called him to do, but he also had the wisdom not to do it alone. Oh, that's something for us this morning. See, church, God sent me to say we have amazing individual qualities in each and every one of us that God has given us, but we're so much more powerful when we're in community. We're so much stronger when we don't do it by ourselves. The bottom line, I know it might be cliche, but praise God, we are better together in Jesus' name. Deuteronomy 32 tells us that one person can put 1,000 enemies to flight, but two can put 10,000. Hallelujah, that's good news this morning. If you need to face an enemy this morning, church, I've got some good news. You don't have to face them alone. You don't have to face them alone. As the church of Jesus Christ, we are called to one another. Come on, somebody. And if you have a battle in front of you, then God sent me to say as your pastor, guess what? I am with you. I am with you heart and soul. I will go with you. I will fight with you. I will pray with you. I will do whatever I can. But I'm with you heart and soul. Better yet, this is the better part, because I'm okay, but in comparison to what we have in God, I'm chopped liver, church. God's word promises us that when two or three are gathered in His name, He is right there with us. God Almighty is with you, heart and soul. That's good news this morning. Jonathan and his armor bearer went up. They went up the slope. They overcome the discouraging mud bog. They overcame the pain of the thorns. They had some uncertainty because in his voice he was like, he may help us, he may not. But what they decided to do showed them, they showed themselves to their enemies. The story says, Jonathan said, hey, we're going to show ourselves to our enemies, and if they call us out, then that means God wants us to go. And that's exactly what happened. Look with me, verse 14, it says, in that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about a half an acre. The panic struck the whole army. Do you hear that, church? This one battle affected the entire army in the camp and in the field and those in the outposts and in the raiding parties, and the ground shook. Oh, that's a word this morning. If you do what God has called you to do with passion and enthusiasm, God can send a panic to our enemies in Jesus' name. It says it was a panic that was sent by God. That's why I'm encouraging. That's why I'm enthusiastic week in and week out, because I want a panic to be sent by my God to our enemies, church. Come on, somebody. If you'll join me on your feet this morning as we close. Scripture says and describes that when this happened, the garrison of the Philistine army that they attacked, there was a huge garrison and two men, a huge army. Versus two men who had enthusiasm. Two men who had the Spirit of the living God in them. When this happened, they ran. And the Lord caused confusion. And they began to fight among one another. And church, long story short, this passionate, enthusiastic, unplanned attack became the event that turned the tide of the entire war. And because of this one victory, it caused the Israelite nation to become victorious over the greater, stronger, more powerful Philistine army. And I believe this morning God wants to strike our enemies with panic, church. God wants to strike your enemies with panic. God wants to put a fear and shake the ground of the people that are coming against us. God wants our obedience to strike fear into our enemies. Life Church, God sent me this morning to declare with authority, it's time to come up. It's time to come up with heart and with soul. What God is calling you to do, it's time to say, I'm with you, God. I'm with you, heart and soul. It's time to get enthusiasm. Lord, I need you, and I want to see something break, and so I'm going to do something. I don't need permission, because I know you're my God, you're my King, you're my Lord, you're my Master, and I know your word is true, and I know it's clear, and I'm going to do what you've called me to do. I'm with you, Lord, heart and soul. I'm with you, Jesus. So with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, I said that we'd give an opportunity, those watching with us online. If you're far from God,
If your relationship with Jesus is not where it needs to be this morning, it's okay. Jesus wants to restore you. He wants to redeem you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to set you free in this holy moment. He's calling you up. He's saying, you know what? I'm with you, heart and soul. I was with you before you were even formed. Jesus is saying, while you were yet a sinner, I died for you. Because I've been with you, heart and soul, and Jesus is calling you up right now in this holy moment. And you just say, Pastor, that's me. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I need to get my life right with Jesus. This is the signs of the times, and I need Jesus to forgive me. I need Jesus to set my feet on a firm foundation. If that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to pray for you. If that's you, lift up your hand all across this room. Jesus loves you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. If you're watching online and you want to give your heart to Jesus, please send us a message right now. We'll reach out to you. We'll pray for you. We'll encourage you. Right now, Jesus is calling you up. He's with you, heart and soul. Thank you for your presence. So, Father, we've heard your word this morning. We've been encouraged for this month. God, you've been purifying our hearts. God, you've been changing us. You've been stirring us up this morning with your word. And so this morning, God, I'm calling your church to come up, heart and soul. God, you are calling us to do amazing things for your kingdom in the near future. God, we are about to undergo an outreach program by building a family life facility. God, we're about to do some things in this community that this church has never done before because we are with you, heart and soul. And so, God, as we begin this altar moment, as we open things up for your presence to encourage us and inspire us, God, there are individuals in this room that have been encouraged by this word, and it's time to stop asking permission, and it's time to start declaring, God, we're with you, heart and soul.